Hello, and welcome back to Army Real Talk. First, I must say, happy Army birthday to you and all of the past and present Army soldiers.
Thank you, ma'am. It is truly an honor to be serving in the best Army in the world. So this Friday, the Army will be celebrating its 244th birthday, and we are still considered one of the youngest armies in the world and as well the most powerful.
That is awesome. And today, to help us celebrate the Army's birthday, we have Lieutenant General Retired Roger Schultz, President of the Army Historical Foundation, and Ms. Tammy Call, Director of the National Army Museum, that will open sometime in 2020. Both are here today to discuss their role in establishing the Museum of the Soldier. So welcome, and please, General Schultz, Ms. Call, please say hi to our listeners, and if you don't mind, share a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks. Honored to be here. I have 43 years in uniform as a soldier in the Guard and on active duty.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. And I have current duties as the president, which you've already outlined. So I'm the president of the Army Historical Foundation. And we're the team responsible for building the National Museum of the United States Army.
Very nice. Ms. Hall?
Hi, good afternoon. So I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you very much for highlighting the museum and the role that we will have with the American public. And so I'm a Department of Army civilian,
awesome.
A career Department of Army civilian, but I've been associated with the Army my entire life.
Very nice.
So grew up in the Army. I am a veteran. I served in the Army and then have been, like I said, a Department of Army civilian for many years.
Well, thank you for your service as well. So we're going to just jump into the questions. And my first question is naturally, why does the Army need a national museum?
I'll start with that question. What we have is an opportunity to tell a story for our soldiers as it deserves to be told. And there's no national museum of our Army today. Washington's without a place dedicated to telling our soldier stories. And we're about to make that an opportunity that's going to be complete.
Excellent. So the museum site is where it's near or right next to Fort Belvoir, correct?
So it formally sits on Fort Belvoir,
okay.
But we are publicly accessible off of Fairfax County Parkway.
Okay.
In fact, we have a dedicated intersection that Virginia Department of Transportation is in charge of and will activate fairly soon.
Wow, that's really convenient.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Absolutely.
Yes. Very nice. So we know our traffic becomes interesting here. So it seems as you were very proactive in the selection of the museum site and access. So we're happy about that. So I have to ask, if you can share, you know, what does the museum mean personally? And I would like both of you to answer that if possible.
We have a piece missing in our ability to tell a story today. And so for me, I'd reflect on the Soldier's Creed, which is I'm a member of a team. I'm a warrior. And as a piece of the story, we're putting the museum together, but that's only a part of the whole story. So It's not about me necessarily as much as it is about the team with Tammy Call and others in the Army working together to finish this project. So while it's personal in a certain way, it's really a way to look after the team that Tammy and I are part of.
Absolutely, yes. And actually, to kind of mirror back to one of your earlier questions about why is this museum important for me and why I find it important both personally and professionally, is the fact that we are the oldest branch of service without a national museum.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know, yet we've been here. We've been here. We are the story of America, the
right.
U.S. Army. And so this museum not only tells the story of our soldiers of all eras through their voices and their eyes and their own stories, but we're telling those stories to Americans, right? We're tying into the American public, and we're letting our citizens know about this great Army and our great soldiers.
Right.
And I think that's a piece of what we're all about here, and that is that when we talk about the percentage of our nation's citizens who serve today in uniform,
mm-hmm.
that's a small percentage. And so we have a place here to tell a story about our soldiers through their eyes as we relate with the history of the Army and the history of our nation.
Very nice.
You know, when you think about it, we had an Army before we had a nation.
Yes,
right.
Sir, we
so,
did.
So, so as, we, as we talk now about kind of our Army's journey across those periods of years, there's a special connection between our Army and this nation of ours. And so that's a piece of why this is so important that we get this one done.
Excellent.
And if I could add as well, something that I'm excited about is the fact that this is not what I would consider just a typical history museum, mm-hmm. right? We tell the stories in a variety of ways. And so anybody that comes in to visit us, I believe, will have their own unique experience within this museum, whether it's reading through the history of the Army, whether it's experiencing soldier skills and learning those soldier skills, just a variety of ways that the visitor can have a unique and fun, rewarding experience.
Excellent. And that kind of leads to my next question. Could you give such a visual of what someone will experience when they enter the museum?
Okay, I'll take that one then. So really, when you enter the lobby of the museum, it is absolutely stunning. If you were walk out there today, this aspect of the museum is done, and that is the lobby with the sparkling white terrazzo floor, the inlaid colored terrazzo Army emblem, the black granite wall of honor with all of the campaign streamers and battles associated, and then above the illuminated campaign streamers themselves. So it's
that looks amazing.
Yeah. It is an amazing, beautiful space.
Very good. So as you talk about arriving at the museum through that entrance and through the lobby, look at that wall of honor and those 190 campaign streamers, mm-hmm. and that wall talks to you.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Cool.
Very nice. I'm excited. I'm sure our listeners are as well. So what would you categorize as your favorite aspect of the museum?
You know, it's a great question. I'm not certain to have a single favorite. If you think about our Army's history from 1775, and you move that through the current activity of our Army, deployed around the world in combat zones, in theaters where soldiers and civilians are lives at risk daily, our Army is not completed this journey of ours, and so I take founding the nation as a special gallery. That's where it all started. And that's a nation that collected a bunch of militia units and called them a Continental Army. If you just think about that for a second and what that might begin to mean. And so founding the nation really sets the framework. It's the foundation for what we have today. And through a series of pretty challenging times in a part of our nation, we now have the Army that we do, which is one of a kind in the world today.
Very nice. That's nice to hear.
So, ma'am, sir, thank you guys for coming again today. So what specifically do you guys think will draw the public to the museum? You know, why will they come? Not just the soldiers. Understand the soldiers. They want to see the stories of their brothers and sisters. But what's going to draw that civilian, you know, that has no military experience or cousin, father, uncle may have been in the military, but never really been exposed.
You know, if you think about the reputation of the military today, and I'm talking about the rating polls, Gallup and others, the military is highly rated, 75-80% for like the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. One of the highest rating institutions in all the categories. And so you see, you know, there's an interest beyond soldiers who have worn the uniform. And beyond the families that have been part of an Army experience, there are lots of people interested in the military today, and our museum is one of those places where we can, again, reach out and connect with the citizens and those visiting from the population around the country and, in some respects, around the world.
Yeah, and I agree with that. As a most trusted organization, you know, to our citizens, I think there's a curiosity about the Army and really wanting to understand all the roles that we play within our society. And we've got a great gallery within the exhibit wing called Army and Society, mm-hmm. where we make that connection of our Army in ways of technology and innovation, things that we enjoy as American citizens mm-hmm. that began with a requirement in the Army. Mm-hmm. And the research and development was done and the deployment of that, our diversity, mm-hmm. just all of those stories connecting our soldiers to our citizens. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We use a theme, soldiers protect and we preserve. And as you think about what that translates to, soldiers give us their lives. And so it's our obligation to look after that in terms of a legacy, in terms of their heritage. And our soldiers have earned their place in history, and we're determined to document a place where, through their eyes, we can tell their stories.
Nice.
And a museum is the place to do that.
Very nice. I'm curious. I heard that there is a component or an exhibit within the museum that focuses on STEM, you know, for students. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure, I'll address that. It's a really unique area, and we're very excited about it. It's called the Experiential Learning Center, and we actually focus on what we call G-STEM, because we threw in geography, because geography is such an important component to the Army and to our soldiers. So within this, there's many, many content areas within this space, all the way from a play area called Fort Discover for our toddlers and up to five-year-olds, where they get to play in a fort, and they've got games in there that talk about G-STEM as well, all the way into the training center, where a visitor is able to go through a series of simulations and games where they're taught specific soldier skills. Okay. So they get to operate a SATCOM truck, and they're operating a Gray Eagle above on a seek and find mission, a target mission. Just all sorts. There's five different content areas in there. And then we bring visitors together, school groups together at the end of going through that training center, and they help the Army solve a humanitarian crisis.
Wow.
Yeah. Not solve it, but address it.
But that's really cool. That's very cool. Definitely have to take my youngest one there to see that.
I'm thinking about my four-year-old niece.
Absolutely.
Like, that sounds very exciting.
If I could go back to the special exhibits.
Please.
We have a gallery called Army and Society. And, you know, people tend to think of an Army as a warfighting capability as an organization. And we're no doubt we exist to fight our nation's wars, to win our nation's wars.
That's right.
But there's a gallery dedicated to Army and Society, and I'll just give you a couple of examples there. You think back to 1783 in Washington, and the Army's about to walk out of their uniforms and go somewhere else because we're not paying them, we're not feeding them, we're not giving them food and all these things that are really quite important for an Army. Mm-hmm. Anyway, General Washington assembled the leaders in Newburgh, New York, and he convinced the leaders to stay in our Army. In the course of doing that, General Washington was adamant about civil control of the military. And when you think about that story, a lot of people take it for granted, but it was a military soldier who held the line on that and said, for us, you recall our nation's history and how we arrived in this country.
Yeah.
And he convinced them that civilian control, working through the Congress, and all those great stories and relationships about the Congress, Washington basically convinced them to stay in the Army. Of course, of doing that, there's just a special kind of relationship we have with civilian leadership today, and it's a part of our strength. It's part of our quality as a nation, for sure.
Right. Just sitting here really gets me excited, hearing these different stories, hearing the different aspects of the museum. So I am very much intrigued. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree, ma'am. I do have one question. So, our audience members, we like to try to reach out to the Generation Z, Generation Y audience. So how is this museum going to affect Army recruiting, or how's it going to help it?
Yeah, it's a great issue. In my sense, it's positive. You walk in the museum, go down to the theater, one-of-a-kind theater, 360-degree scope in that theater, and they'll tell an Army story. And if you don't leave that theater feeling pretty good about the Army, then there's something else wrong.
The bond that the museum will offer to our young citizens to serve as a touch point. We're very excited about our ability to serve as a touch point, because we know that there's many along the way of a young person and their influencers in a decision to serve and to raise your hand and serve in the military. So we know that we will be a touch point without a doubt.
Absolutely.
And we hope that the excitement, the inspiration that a visit to the museum generates in somebody's thought process, that's where we will serve.
Absolutely.
And just think about the visitors that are coming through our museum, 750 plus thousand by some reviews, and you say, how are you going to do all of that? But we met with the Mount Vernon leadership just 6 miles away, and they're excited about getting our museum open.
I'm sure.
and now I'm back to the storyline, which is this is a special place to talk about soldiers and our Army in ways that are not being told today.
That's true. Absolutely, sir. Yeah. Totally agree.
And I'd just like to add something to that, and the fact that, you know, even beyond recruitment and into the military, just the ability to generate a sense of inspiration within our citizens to serve in any capacity, right? Within their communities, and to contribute to our society, just as our soldiers do so importantly.
Right. Yes. And I actually believe that based on what you have shared and what I've read about the museum, it will definitely stir up an energy and excitement. I love the learning piece because it starts at a young age, you know, and they can say, oh, I understand I have a simulated exercise or participate in simulated exercise. This is exciting, you know, and then the stories are really touching and important to be shared.
So and along the lines of being excited, this is an immersive facility,
right,
in terms of an experience. Mm-hmm. You can experience from the time you walk in until you leave something new, something different. You're always going to be learning. And so engaging the public in a way that many would take for granted is a piece of our feature.
Yeah. And something I haven't mentioned are just the artifacts. They're tremendous soldier artifacts that we have throughout the museum that are tied to those individual stories. And then some of those larger artifacts that we already have in place sitting out in the museum.
Excellent.
So you guys talk about emerging the public into it and telling the soldier story. So I know every soldier story is not going to be told in this museum, but what if a soldier or a loved one has a story to tell? How do they go about submitting that to the museum?
Armyhistory.org. Armyhistory.org is our webpage, and there you can register a soldier story.
Okay.
It's easy to get to. Just pull the drop-down menus and write the story. You can insert a photo. Tell us what unit that the soldier was a part of, and we'll put that as part of our registry display. It's a neat way to tell a story.
That's awesome.
Excellent.
And that registry will be available in the museum on a kiosk scattered throughout the entire museum.
Okay.
So guests, especially if they have registered a soldier, if they've registered themselves, they'll have the availability while visiting the museum to go to a kiosk and look into the registry and find their story or that of a loved one.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Pretty much on that line, tell me a little bit about the commemorative bricks or the unit tributes.
Well, I'll start with the bricks. We have 4x8 and 8x8 bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And the commemorative bricks are a way to recognize the contribution of a person, of a family member, perhaps a cousin, an aunt, someone in your past, or it could be a currently serving soldier. But the idea behind the brick program is to recognize a person, and they can be civilians too, so it doesn't just have to be a soldier. I'll give you an example of a brick story. This is a World War II veteran. On his brick, he said, heroes don't wear capes.
That's cool.
I like it.
That's real cool.
And he goes on to talk about real heroes wear dog tags.
I like it a lot.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah,
and that's
cool.
Yeah.
And so it's just a way of recognizing individuals who have served and document their contribution to our Army. And it's story after story. We're 9,000 plus bricks already sold, and so we'll continue to do that.
Yeah. Well, you could say 9,001. I want to purchase one for my father. So, yes.
Now, you ask about the unit tributes, and that's a 12 by 18 plaque. Mm-hmm. And that plaque will outline it primarily through a unit patch.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone
mm-hmm.
recognizes the patch they served with in the Army, and so that'll be a way of identifying with a patch.
You just look at the divisions, sir, or do you go as far down as the brigades?
Go to brigades. We'll go to flag-bearing kind of units, and so you'll see a variety. Some units are going to have their Vietnam unit, their flag, and so they'll have a few things to say about that particular unit on these plaques. And so the promenade, which is the entrance to the museum itself, will have these unit tributes, which is a 12 by 18 plaque.
Wow.
Very nice.
Cool.
That is very cool.
So in addition to the individual bricks and the unit tributes, we just want to make sure that civilians know as well that they're welcome to join the registry entries. As you think about the contributions of our civilians over the history
Absolutely,
of the Army,
sir.
This is an opportunity to tell a story that sometimes is forgotten, and it's important to us when you think about a civilian contribution. Their service has been selfless. Their service has been courageous. And they just don't serve in the continental United States. They serve around the world.
Yes, sir, they do.
And so we want to be certain that there are those out there in the community that are welcome to join the registry, and civilians are a part of that team in Army family that we want to recognize.
Excellent. And we can use that registry at the Historical Foundation website?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
Excellent.
I was told that you guys have a Nisei soldier experience in there. Mm-hmm. And I heard those were some of the hardest artifacts to find.
Oh.
So which one, what was the challenges of getting that display? And what's one of the most unique items out of that display right there?
Oh my goodness, I don't even know if I can identify unique because they all are so lovely. But let me talk about the artifacts themselves. And so we pull our artifacts from the Army's collection.
Okay.
And the Army has quite a large artifact collection. And as we developed storyline and we looked at different exhibits, we realized that that we had a gap in our collection, specifically within our World War II Japanese American, specifically Nisei soldier. And that was due to a lot of reasons. First of all, the soldiers didn't talk about their experiences, and a lot of families didn't know, and they didn't know what they might have from from their grandfather or their father that had served. And really, this storyline is so unique because of the events of what was happening around that time, right? And so our Japanese American families, particularly West Coast, and everything that was going on with the incarceration camps and various things, and then the soldiers coming out of those camps to prove their loyalty. So and then their bravery, their extraordinary bravery between the men and women of the Nisei that served in World War II. And so we have a temporary gallery that explains that. So we did some community outreach visits to talk to the families and said, we have this exhibit to do, but we don't have the artifacts to support it. And then we started receiving some just stunningly beautiful artifacts.
Wow.
One that I will point out is, if you are aware of the Japanese tradition of the Cinnabari belt, the thousand-stitch belt.
I understand.
Okay, if you've heard of that in Japanese tradition. There were mothers that, while in a camp, knowing that their son was going off to war, provided their son a thousand-stitch belt. Some of them felt that it was disloyal to wear such a belt or keep it in their possession, so they disposed of them, and others did keep them. And so we had a family that that donated one of one of the Cinnabari, the thousand-stitch belt, and it is just breathtaking.
Right.
And so the story that allows us to tell. And that's just one example. We have many artifacts. And one of the displays that we have up in that exhibit is we have the artifact case with the artifacts in them. And the visitor will be able to sit or stand in front of an audiovisual display and choose one of the artifacts and learn that story.
Get an interactive feel.
So just some really,
very nice.
Really cool stuff.
That's special. Yeah. Very special. So I would like us to end with pretty much with a story of your favorite soldier. Now, Mrs. Call, you just provided us with a very touching story. So I'm going to look over to General Schultz and ask if you can share one of your favorite soldier stories.
Sure. We have a number, but the one special in my mind is a story about Kimberly Hampton. She's a Kiowa Warrior pilot, 2004 in Iraq, with Troop D, of the 1st to 17th Cav, 82nd Airborne Division. On Kimberly's soldier story, you'll see this quote. It's, "The United States needs good, solid troops in hot spots. That's where I want to be."
Wow. That's inspirational right there.
Yeah. Yes, and yes. It's, if you don't mind, one alibi.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
We talk about soldiers in this discussion. We just need to be reminded that courageous and selfless civilians have made our army what it is.
Absolutely.
It's a contribution that perhaps is sometimes lost in the discussion because they don't all wear uniforms.
Is there going to be like a small civilian wing or dedication area within the museum?
And so within the Army and Society Gallery, we do address the service of civilians and the role of the Department of Army civilian, absolutely.
Nice.
And really, I think for me, we use the tagline, every soldier has a story. And really this museum is about every soldier, because you will see yourself, whether you're an American citizen who has not served, whether you're a veteran, whether you're a current soldier, you will find a reflection of you within this museum amongst these countless stories.
This is exciting. Look, I'm ready. Okay, so tell me about the opening and provide me with some more information so I can learn more.
So the foundation has been busily constructing the facility, and the Army has been busily inside turning it into the museum. We've got a little ways to go still, and the Secretary of the Army will make the decision on the specific opening date.
Okay.
But right now, we target 2020. We know that. Things are moving right along. Staffs will actually begin moving into the facility this summer, and both the foundation and the Army staff, which will make our lives a lot easier in daily coordination.
Excellent.
We're looking forward to that. And we will just get ready to to get ready for next year. Excellent. Coming right around the corner.
Yeah, it is, man.
It
come
is.
Quick.
It's fast.
Yes. So provide me with the website. You know, myself or, of course, our listeners are very much interested in learning more about the museum currently. Where should we go online to learn more?
For the foundation, it's Army History Foundation. Okay. It's armyhistory.org.
Thank you both for taking the time to come out and speak with us, speak with our listeners. We thank you for what you are doing, what you have done, and what you continue to do.
Thank you both for your service.
You're welcome.
Yes. To all of our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Keep it locked in here for all Army Matters. And for next week's episode, enjoy Family Voices.
AUSA is the U.S. Army's professional association, a voice for the Army and support for the soldiers.
For more information about AUSA or to become a member, visit AUSA.org. And listeners, be sure to have a beautiful yet productive day.
Oh.